KN4CEM mobile.
KN4TFW.
Ready for it, even though I only worked 3 days this week, I'm still ready.
It should just be 3 days anyway. Could still be a Boy Scout now that they changed the name.
I mean, as of right now, I'm staying in. Well, I figure it, unless something bad happens within the troop I'm in, I don't know how to say it over the radio, but basically, unless something really bad happens, I'll stay in it. Because, I mean, for the most part, the girls have been in our troop for a while, but they meet in a separate building, and they don't go on campouts with us. So there is a Troop 413, which is what our troop is, girls and a boys. So we're still technically totally separated, even though the name change happened.
I didn't know if you guys were switching over to the trail life.
To it, it's, you know, I mean, everything about trail life looks like it'd be a great program. But, you know, my oldest is 2 years out from really having to get his Eagle done. So he'll turn 16, so he'll only have 2 years left to get his Eagle project done. So he would kind of be backing up a little bit. My youngest, I could probably do it and get away with it. He'd still have plenty of time. But like I said, unless something really goes down, you know, that I just don't agree with morally in the troop, I guess, then I'll stay in it. Hey, it's kind of a name change. I'll be okay with it. But if it starts getting all DEI stuff way too much, you know, then I'll probably have to step out.
The dog to the vet last night at an emergency place. I know she's, you know, she always has allergies and she always rubs her eyes, but this time it's just one eye and she's rubbed all the skin and hide off of it all around. It's all red and puffy, and that, so I had to go get some medicine for it.
And I hate to know how much it set you back, too.
At the vet, and then Susan texts me and says, oh, the upstairs AC quit.
Out of fours, right?
I know, that's right. I got a call in this morning. I think it's low on Freon because it, you know, I had the new units put in. They put a new upstairs unit and a new downstairs unit. The tubing going from the unit to the upstairs is still the same. It takes like a couple of years to leak down. You're never going to find that leak. And that, but it happened with the old one. It would, you know, after a couple of years, it leaked down. You had to fill it up. So I think it's the same with this one.
That's all it is. I mean, if you've had to do it before, I'm sure it's still there. So hopefully it'll be a pretty quick repair.
I'm on this unit, but they're, I think I put them in 3 years ago, maybe four.
Long ago, I had to put my unit in. It's probably been more than 5 years, but I never felt like my power bill or anything went down with it being supposedly more efficient.
More time, I was in a bad spot.
I placed mine probably 6-7 years ago, and I don't feel like I ever got any more efficiency out of it. I did. It was so small, you couldn't even really tell it on the power bill.
A big difference, because mine were like 1990 models. Plus, they had a 2-ton for downstairs and a ton and a half for upstairs. So now I got a 2-ton for downstairs and a 2.5 for upstairs. And man, it makes a huge difference.
Well, that is surprising. Why would they put the smaller one in the top when all the heat goes upstairs? That would make sense, too.
These units for 30 years, so that ain't bad.
Not bad. I don't know that the ones nowadays lasted that long. Hopefully they do.
The thing about these is they're not heat pumps, so they don't have a ton of electronics, you know, out there at the air unit. So how about Susan sends me a picture, I'll send it to you later. So somehow a bird got inside the unit and his head was hung in the grill, but he was already passed, but I couldn't figure out how to get him out.
found a small enough hole to get in and then couldn't figure out how to get back out.
Being there by his head through the grating, but I mean, I couldn't get his head to go back through there.
No telling. This weekend.
She said she thought the grandkids was coming over tomorrow. And then either Sunday or Monday, we'll ride over to my brother's house in Milton and see him. I hadn't seen him in probably 6 months, but we both just been busy. He's got all of his kids back at the house now.
Your grandkids this weekend?
He got like his 24-year-old is back at the house, and he ain't working. And they've been paying his bills. And then the middle son, he's a manager at Starbucks. Him and his girlfriend are over there. And then his youngest son works out at Michelin.
Cool right there.
He's ready to downsize and for people to leave. And the youngest says, well, you need somebody. You're getting older. You need somebody to take care of you. And he's like, yeah, that'd be fine if you were doing it.
Yeah, my oldest talks like that a little bit, where he's like, yeah, I don't know when I'll leave. I'm like, it's going to be before long.
That right?
It stays a little bit, but it ain't going to be indefinitely.
I mean, his car insurance and something else. He's like, yeah, that ain't happening anymore. And then he just, I don't know, everybody's wanting to go get some specific job, you know what I mean? It's like, look, it's called work. You might not like it, but go for it. Just like the middle one, he wanted a job in, I mean, he's got a degree in quantum computing. So he wanted something, you know, in that field, and they offered him something, but it wasn't exactly like he wanted. So, I mean, he turned down like six figures.
I mean, I get that, but, you know, like you said, it's, you gotta have a job, you gotta work someplace, so it'd still be better to put your, you know, your knowledge to use a little bit than it would be just not to do it at all.
You know, get in on the ground floor and work yourself up to where you want it to be.
Definitely that. I mean, when I started at BMW, I never had any intentions of becoming a manager, so, and here I am almost 25 years later.
Work traveling construction, you know, year and a half here, year and a half there. You know, outside all winter long, outside all summer long, and that. And it's like, you know, we've all done stuff we didn't want to do.
Shoot, my wife, she talks about my 15-year-old. You know, she's not ready for him to get a license and all that because he's going to grow up. I'm like, baby, I was working at 15 years old. I was driving myself back and forth to work. But I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, we hadn't been moved to South Carolina long, and Mom said, I think I'm going to go down to the highway department and get my license switched to South Carolina. And I said, well, I'll go with you and get my permit.
And I told my son, I'm like, it's time for you to get your permit. I mean, you know, you might not want your license right away, but you need to get your permit. You can start practicing and learning and whatnot and get behind the wheel. For whatever reason, he's nervous. I don't ever remember being that way.
First one I drove was like a 63 model Impala over there off of State Park Road by the, and that didn't take long. I mean, we were up to 50 mile an hour like right now, but we were used to go-karts and all kinds of stuff like that, so it wasn't a, you know, a big deal. It's hard to believe that was 50 years ago. But the deal with our kids was if you got your license, you had to pay for what it made my insurance go up.
Here, that's what I had to do. I had to pay for my insurance. My dad gave me my first vehicle. He had a 83 Toyota pickup truck. Man, I drove the fire out of that thing. And it was a straight drive. I loved it. I wish I wouldn't have done all the stupid stuff I did where I used to go mudding and tore the transmission up out of it.
In high school, mine was a 68 model Rambler, 3-speed on the column. Not a prime high school car in the 70s.
F4. Shoot, I remember, man, my sisters had a Ford Escort, I think it was. It was a straight drive, but it didn't have power steering in it. Man, that thing was fun to turn whenever you were first getting moving. It's such a pain in the butt.
F-100, '79 model, it didn't have power steering, but as long as you paid attention to what you were doing, you could get in and out.
Moving, I mean, you never even noticed anymore. It's just that trying to turn or move the wheel whenever when the car wasn't moving, it was that, man, that was a workout.
Wider radial tires on it, man, it was tough. Then I went to mud tires and that, and it was like having power steering.
Right there.
You know, they called it 3-speed overdrive, but it was in the floor.
In all honesty, I'd like to get the boys if we buy them a car to learn on, I wish it was a straight drive, because most people don't know how to drive them nowadays, but in all honesty, you don't see many of them anymore.
They're hard to come by, you need to learn how to do one on the column. I mean, Susan's only ever drove one on the column once, but it's like, you know, if you're looking at Jeeps, you think, you know, four-wheel drive with the manual transmission and that, but of the 500 in the area, there might be four or five that are manual.
You ton of them. You see a few, you know, I could probably see Jeeps having it, some sport cars, you know, those would probably have it, but other than that, you don't hardly see it at all anymore.
Going to the Jiffy Lube with a 3-speed on the column, you know, and just pull it in line and go inside. It's funny.
Give me a name with a shifter on the column.
Learned on it.
I was about it, but I've never seen a straight drive on the column at all.
It was I learned on a 66 Dodge Dart with the 3-speed on the column with a straight six, or a slant six, actually.
And I'm sure.
This is showing where we could roll started and forward, we could roll started in reverse.
The thing about a straight drive, I mean, if your battery did die, if you were on enough of a hill, you could still get it going.
54 Chevrolet pickup. As soon as I pulled out of the driveway, it quit, and the fuel line had rotted, you know, from the gas tank to the carburetor. And I just put it in reverse and mashed it on the starter, and it just the starter put it right back in the driveway. You can't do that this day.
They do anything like that nowadays. KO4CS.
Truck, I wish I had it. It had the starter in the floor where you had to mash on the button. All the key did was the key just turned the power on.
I've seen that before.
It only had like one wire, and it went from like the ignition out to the coil. You know what I mean? And then you just mashed on the starter was a button in the middle of the floorboard that you had to push down and then make it start.
And I've never heard of that before. I didn't know that was a thing. I remember the high beams being in the floorboard. I've drove a couple vehicles like that, but I've never seen the starter in the floorboard.
Yeah, this one was on the right-hand side, just a big old knob that mashed down into the floor. And it really threw you for a curve, like if you stalled it out on a hill, you know, you're trying to keep going from a hill, and the first thing you do is you turn the key, and then you realize, oh, that don't do nothing, and you got to mash the floor starter. Well, it's kind of hard to hold the clutch in and the brake and mash the floor starter on a hill.
An adventure, but if you had something like that nowadays, you wouldn't have to worry about it getting stolen.
Few and far between people that knew how to do it. At least if it got stolen, you know it's probably an old person, right?
Yeah, that's why I think even like a straight drive nowadays, if you have one of those, most people wouldn't be able to do anything with it.
Me and Susan, all we ever had was straight drives. And that until her knee started acting up. And that, it's like, you know what? We might better get at least one automatic just in case.
If it's an automatic, especially when you're stuck in traffic or something like that, it's not such a pain. So, well, Ken, I pulled in the parking lot, so I need to go ahead and head on in here. You have a safe trip into work. Hopefully you have a good day, and maybe you get out at a good time. So you have a good weekend. If I don't holler at you, we'll talk to you Monday morning. KO4CF, and I'll be clear on your final.
Bye. Patrick or Andrew, and you have a good one in that. Now, I won't see you on Monday. I'm going to take the holiday off. I'll catch you on Tuesday, K4 TFW.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about the holiday on Monday, so yeah, I won't be on the radio either. Try to sleep in a little bit, about 7, so have a good one, Ken. K04 CF, and I'll be clear, 73.
73, KN4 TFW.